You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. It is The Bigger Picture and it's Meera Sivasothi. In the quest to get pregnant, many women and men will do almost anything to get further along the path to conception, including taking advice from well-meaning aunties and uncles on what to eat. There is no doubt that nutrition does play a huge role in fertility, but what exactly should be on the menu? Telling us more is Dr. Helena Lim, consultant obstetrician and gynecologist. Welcome, Dr. Helena.
Thank you so much for having me here again.
Dr. Helena, when a couple who's having difficulty conceiving comes to you to meet you, when do you ask them to consider their nutrition? I mean, what you would obviously do all the necessary tests first.
Yes,
and then, but when does the whole talk of nutrition come to be?
Well, I try to introduce that concept as early as possible because for many reasons. Number one is that we know that at this juncture, there were so many robust data suggesting that what you eat actually affects it, how fast you are going to get pregnant. Mm-hmm. And number two is that if you optimize your body in terms of your nutrition, your body weight and all that kind of thing, it actually reduces the risk of diseases in pregnancy, such as high blood pressure and diabetes. Mm-hmm. So it is very important to get this message through very, very early.
Okay, but how much does nutrition really play a role? I mean, are you saying it's all about nutrition or it's all about, you know, how healthy you really are? I mean, how much does nutrition play a role? A
very important role. In fact, this is one of the areas where people are looking into now. Well, when we actually first have IVF, test tube baby and all that, a lot of advances and a lot of success rate is depending on how your technology is now. Now, what we observe now in the fertility world is that whatever technology now, which is developed now, has come to a plateau. Meaning that the success rate is now, whatever you do in the lab, when whatever you do with the injections, is only going to make a very small difference in the success rates.
Okay.
So now the question is, what comes next? Mm-hmm. And I think now the time has come whereby people is now focusing into nutrition and what is the impact of nutrition on fertility.
Okay, so what's the difference between nutrition for males and females? Is it pretty much the same thing? I mean, we do know for one thing you need to maintain the right body weight,
that's
BMI, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, and in terms of nutrition, how do we differ?
Well, it's not much of a difference, but it's just that, you know, when we can actually identify the most of the things, for example, antioxidants, micronutrients and so forth are both very important for both female and male. In fact, things like omega-3. Now, before this, we were actually harping a lot about omega-3 on fertility, female fertility. And increasingly now, we realize that even for male fertility, omega-3 also plays a very important role. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, it's also about cell development. I mean, the cells in our body's development, how healthy your cells are and how healthy your body is. So in fact, there's not a significant difference in terms of what you should eat for men and what you should eat for women.
Okay, so nutrition, you said, is key, almost key now.
Yes.
In terms of how you nourish yourself. But what about environmental factors? I mean, I'm sure that plays a huge role as well. And that is pretty unanswered. Because I remember when I had Dr. Prashant on the show, he said the amount of sperm, is it, that's produced by males?
Yes.
Is decreasing at an alarming rate throughout the world.
I would absolutely agree with him. Yep. Because the quality and quantity of a sperm in the men's semen is actually getting more and more atrocious now. And we really, really could not answer a lot of it, why it happened. Is it because the air we breathe? Is that the water we drink? Mm-hmm. Is that the processed food and all this very, very good stuff that we take? So we really have no straightforward answer to that. However, that is why we are actually looking at what we can do to counteract all this damages that's in our environment.
And how do you suggest we do that?
Well, there's a robust studies actually carry out in all over the world looking at things like micronutrients, antioxidants and all that to enhance fertility. So these are actually a very, very robust and interesting field at the moment.
Okay, so you're saying that, you know, the nutrition that we're getting in our day-to-day consumption of food isn't quite enough?
Well, the thing is,
or are we eating rubbish?
We are. Tell me, 30 years ago and 40 years ago, do you eat McDonald's, regularly?
Never.
Now look at my kids. What are they eating on a regular basis? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what is it in this processed food? Well, a lot of...
Sodium.
A lot of MSG. A lot of processed artificial colouring and so forth. So what does this do to your health? And what does it do to my children in the next 10 or 20 years? Mm-hmm. We really have no answer to that.
Right. Yeah. Refined carbs and reducing alcohol intake is something that everyone advocates in terms of nutrition.
Yes, that's right.
Would you agree?
Yes, absolutely. There are numerous studies out there to address that. What is the influence of alcohol on fertility? In fact, there is actually very, very concrete data to suggest that if you take more than one unit per day, you actually reduce your fertility up to 70 to 80%. So that is actually quite interesting.
It's just one unit.
Yes, it's just one unit. And it's worse that if you actually don't take it for 7 days and suddenly take all 7 or 8 units in one go, then you actually damages the sperm, damages the eggs quality and so forth. So in fact, alcohol is one of... It's not a myth, no longer a myth, that it actually reduces your fertility.
It is proven. So what do you suggest? If you are planning to get pregnant, both husband and partner or wife, husband and wife have... to actually abstain from alcohol once and for all?
I wouldn't say abstinence altogether, but I think it's very wise to reduce it to a very minimal amount.
Okay. What about caffeine?
Well, very interesting.
Very controversial, really.
It is controversial. However, there are a few very good data recently that has suggested if you take caffeine for more than 200 milligrams daily, it actually reduces your fertility and it actually increases miscarriages. And in fact, I just found a paper recently that was actually published in one of the very high-impact fertility journal that says that if you take more than 20 milligrams, please note, 20 milligrams is almost a daily intake for a lot of people.
One cup?
Yes, one cup. Then it actually reduces your live birth rate, and actually, if you actually take them more than 50 milligrams per day, you actually have a higher risk of premature delivery.
Okay, but does not quite affect your chances of getting pregnant.
It does. Because your live birth rate, because meaning that it's actually more difficult for you to get pregnant.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, and ingredients in whole grains apparently can affect fertility.
Yes, it does.
What is it about the whole grains?
Well, the whole grain actually, the story about whole grains is actually about a lot of micronutrients and antioxidants. It does improve the egg quality as well as sperm qualities as well.
Okay, so whole grains is,
yes, okay.
And antioxidants, of course, there's a lot of talk about antioxidants and how they benefit
fertility. It's huge. Antioxidants, many types of antioxidants, for example, or multivitamins. For example, certain things such as L-arginine, L-carnitine, and so forth. All this actually reduces the oxidative stress and reduces the free radicals in our body. Well, what does this oxidative stress do? Because it causes damage to our chromosome and DNA, and hence reduces the sperm and egg quality. Mm-hmm. So if you take antioxidant to counteract this stress, it actually helps to reduce the risk of damages to DNA, and hence it improves the quality of our eggs and sperms.
Okay. I cannot remember my grandmother taking antioxidants.
Yes.
Are you saying that at that time they ate better and the environment that they lived in was a lot
much
healthier?
Better. Yes, I would agree that.
So that is the main reason why we are
the way
we are today.
Yeah.
Vitamins, some of it can be harmful. And I understand vitamin A is one of them. And I mean, I remember a certain medication to treat acne. It's a very high dosage of vitamin A. And the first thing they always ask you is if you're planning to get pregnant, because it will affect the fetus.
Yes, right.
So vitamin A, but how would you know that you're actually taking vitamin A in the right amounts?
Well, if you actually are going according to the recommended daily requirement by the FDA or the European recommended requirement, you wouldn't go wrong. But if you are actually taking in very high dose, such as in patients
for any treatment,
then you have to be watchful, because it has actually proven to be teratogenic, which means that it actually causes harm and birth defects to the fetus.
What about your chance of getting pregnant in the first place?
Well, the data of fertility is actually quite unknown. Yeah, we do not have a very robust data suggesting that if you have very high dose of vitamin D or very low dose of vitamin A causes any fertility problem. But of course, if all this actually has to be of a balance.
Okay. Folic acid is something every OBGYN will actually advocate.
Yes.
Even when you're just thinking about, you know.
Yes.
Let alone when you're pregnant. What is it about folic acid that helps you in the process?
All right. Okay. This is very interesting because folic acid is the start of all this mumbo-jumbo and all these things about studies on nutrition in pregnancy. And in fact, I think that study was carried out way back into about 20 years ago, I must say, that they found that if you take folic acid in more than 400 micrograms daily, 3 months prior to pregnancy, you are looking at there's actually a very huge reduction of birth defects, especially neurotube defects.
That's right.
Yeah. Nobody could actually tell us exactly why, how it happens, but there is some hypothesis suggesting that it may be due to because it reduces the DNA damage and the chromosomal damage,
okay,
and therefore it reduces the neurotube defects.
Right. And normally the woman is told to take folic acid. Why not the man?
Yeah, very interestingly, there are a few very good studies recently that address that if men were to take folic acid and folate acid, which is another name, is folate, it actually helps with their sperm quality as well.
Right.
Yes.
And we just found that out?
Yes, we did.
So it's good to, you know, dope yourself with folic acid, but what's the right dosage?
Well, the studies actually shows that if you take more about 400 microgram daily, mm-hmm, that's good enough, okay, for you.
And if you take too much of it, what happens?
Well, interestingly, if you go out to the pharmacy, you will see the folic acid, it comes in 5 milligram, which is 5,000 microgram, which is way too high than
400 requirement.
Yes, that's right. However,
it's like 10 times more.
Oh, even more than that, isn't it?
Yes.
However, just bearing in mind that folic acid is actually a water-soluble vitamin. So right, meaning that even though you take it in a high amount, if your body don't really need that it, much,
yeah,
that it actually gets excreted.
Expelled.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So your body gets rid of it naturally.
Yes, naturally. Oh. And I have done a search as well because one of my patients actually emailed me and asked me whether it's going to be harmful or not. And in fact, I didn't find any research that suggests that if you take a high dose, that would cause any damage to your fetus or your fertility.
Okay. So men, go out there and get your folic acid as well. We have a question here from a listener who's asking Anwar, Anwar O2. He's saying, how does BCAA, which is branched chain amino acids and protein taken by frequent gym goers, will that sort of affect fertility?
Well, yes, there is actually a high protein diet. There is actually a very interesting study that suggests that if you actually type very high protein intake before pregnancy, that actually increases your risk of pregnancy loss and embryo retardation. However, this study was done in animals, not human beings. Mm-hmm. So in fact, if you're asking me, you want to lose weight before having your baby, and should you go on the Atkins diets and all those high protein, high fat diet, I do have a bit of reservation about the component, but I must say the Atkins diet actually works very well because it works fast.
Right.
However, we must be very careful that you're not overdoing it, and you must also take supplement to actually balance out your other nutritions as well.
I mean, we've got some really cross wires on healthy eating, in that women seem to be reducing their fat intake to be slim.
Yes.
Do you find that much of a problem now? I mean, women coming to you trying to conceive,
mm-hmm,
but at the same time want to maintain that really slim figure and in the works, and hence they're on a specific diet. How do you advise them to let go of that diet for the time being, or do they continue?
Right. If you're actually looking at just BMI itself, and it's very interesting that if you have very low BMI, your fertility actually goes down as well. And if your BMI is actually more than 25, which means you're on overweight, mm-hmm, or even in the obese category, your fertility goes down as well.
Yes.
So it's actually a curve this way. All right. So Therefore, it's very important to educate women to say that, look, if you want to get pregnant, it's actually reasonable for you to maintain your BMI between the 20 to 25 range, okay, because that would be the most fertile range, for example.
And I'm going to reiterate something alarming that Dr. Prashant shared with me in that every 1 point above the specific BMI, which is up 25 then,
yes,
every 1 point higher, your chances of conceiving drops 4% every year.
That's right. That's right. That's actually quite
that is scary.
It is indeed.
Get into shape, people. We'll continue this discussion. If you have a question for Dr. Helena, send us a text message. The number is 016-201-9000 or tweet BFM Radio.
You're listening to BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good afternoon. It is The Bigger Picture and it's Meera Sivasuthi. With me is Dr. Helena Lim, consultant obstetrician and gynecologist. We're discussing fertility for male and females in terms of nutrition. Now, just to divert or to digress from nutrition, I suppose it is relevant in that CH/Aish, I suppose, via Twitter is asking, is it a myth or not? What is this truth about radiation and fertility? Is there a connection?
Well, there is a very interesting study. I do not know about laptop, for example, but however, there is an interesting small study which was carried out in America that shows that if you are a heavy user of mobile phone, there is actually a reduce your sperm count and sperm quality actually reduces over if you actually use a mobile phone for more than 4 hours per day.
Okay, I'm just curious because most men carry their handphones in their pockets.
Yeah, increase heat.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, you want to relocate that handphone?
Yes, please.
What about seafood? You know, fish is always we always are concerned about lead and mercury poisoning.
That's
when it
right.
comes to seafood in
yes.
general. What do you advocate?
Well, that's actually very interesting because a lot of people come to me and ask me whether they can feed their baby with certain deep sea fish, or whether, you know, they should, when they are trying to conceive, whether they should be taking deep sea fish, because here we are talking about omega-3, how good it is for your fertility and so forth. Now, it's very important to check that whether the fish that you're taking is actually deep sea fish, for example, and where is the origin of the fish, because we know that when the fish come from certain areas that actually carries a higher mercury level in their fish. So I know that there is actually a list from FDA from America that suggests that if you actually take mackerel king or shark, no, so therefore no shark fin for you, or swordfish from that area, it's actually very high. There is actually a very high level of mercury in this kind of fish. But if you were to consider taking cod fish, for example, haddock or herrings, the mercury level is actually quite low.
Okay, what about salmon?
Well, in this, canned salmon is actually quite good as well. They say that the level is actually quite low.
Okay, all right then, that's interesting. What about consuming flaxseed and flaxseed oil? And because vegans and vegetarians, how do you advise them when it comes to nutrition during pregnancy?
It is a bit difficult because I do have a group of patients who are vegetarians and either they are actually seeking fertility treatment or already pregnant and coming to us and talking about nutrition. In fact, flaxseed is a very interesting alternative to all these things. However, there's only a very minimal studies that actually address that. Maybe it's because it's not very popular flaxseed oil, food for certain areas of the world. And there's only 11 studies that suggest that maybe there is actually a helpful in fertility.
Okay. Normally, vegans and vegetarians, would you say that they are deficient in terms of nutrition when it comes to fertility?
I wouldn't say that. If you actually, vegans and you actually look into taking different types of vegetables, different sorts of proteins and all sorts, you should be actually having very good nutrition level in your body. So I wouldn't say that if you're a vegetarian, you are at any time, having disadvantage over people that eat meats, for example.
All right. Iron, of course, is another important mineral for women. Does it affect fertility?
Well, interestingly,
iron is somewhat it's a difficult thing to talk about because too much of it is not good.
That's right.
And if you are deficient of iron, then that's not good either.
Yes, that's right.
So how do you tell whether you are on the normal level or not?
In fact, one of the very important markers for iron level is actually hemoglobin. The reason why we stress on iron level is because it's important to keep your hemoglobin at a normal level. Well, hemoglobin is actually it exists in our red blood cells. It helps to bind oxygen, and it's very important to deliver oxygen to every single cell in our body. Mm-hmm. So if you have very low hemoglobin, and therefore your body doesn't function that well, and therefore your body doesn't function that well, and you are actually at high risk of diseases, high risk of iron deficiency, anemia, and cardiac failure, and so forth. In fact, there is actually no very good study to address the role of iron and the association with fertility. However, we know that it's important that if you're pregnant, then you should actually look at your iron level as well.
Okay, so during the pregnancy is what counts.
Yes, during the pregnancy.
Fat is always controversial.
It is.
Now, there is a difference. Natural fats have functions for health.
Yes.
And they are not inherently bad.
Yes, that's right. There's a polyunsaturated fats. It's very good for us.
Yeah, and they carry many vitamins that cannot be absorbed in any other way.
That's right.
Yep. Yeah. So what should we avoid in terms of fat? I mean, so polyunsaturated fat is what we should be consuming. What should we be avoiding?
Okay, we should be avoiding all this animal fats, which is monounsaturated. Yeah. So because that fat actually clogs up our coronary arteries, it actually increases our risk of diseases, it actually increases obesity and so forth. So therefore, it actually works against us.
Okay. Research suggests that cream, whole milk and other dairy products appear to be bad for men's fertility, which sort of ties in with Chitish's question on milk and chicken are said to contain hormones which are bad for men. Is there a link between hormones and fertility?
Right. Hormones. I wouldn't say there's hormone in total, but dairy products is very interesting because there is a small study that shows that if men would take very high doses of dairy products, that has some significant link to a lower sperm count.
Mm.
Right. However, there's also another study in a very high impact journal that look at women who takes dairy products, and they notice that those who actually takes very high quantity of low fat products actually has low fertility.
Mm.
But if you take if you were to take the normal fat, not the skim milk kind of dairy product, your fertility is somewhat preserved. So we have no explanation. I have no explanation to that as yet.
So what you're saying is go back to full cream milk.
It is.
Fresh full cream milk.
Milk, but in a moderate amount.
Of course. And you can go back to butter.
Yes.
And throw out the margarine.
Yes, yes. Which I love.
All in moderation.
Yes, all in moderation, please.
Okay. So you want to throw out all that skim milk. What about hormones? Did you answer that just now? The hormones?
The hormones, the chicken and hormones.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is actually very difficult to quantify that, things that we feed to our animals, would that actually have direct effect on our health, on our fertility and so forth. In fact, there is actually, it's very hard to quantify because, in fact, in our environment, how much do you take and whether it's ethical to run this kind of study or not.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tongkat Ali, Kachip Fatima. Key words when it comes to men's health and women's health.
Yes, that's right.
Do they play a part at all in fertility?
Well, okay, there has been a few papers. I think there are probably four papers. Two or three of these papers were published from Malaysia because Tongkat Ali is found in Malaysia, that it actually helps with erectile dysfunction. And there's a very small paper that suggests that it may improve the sperm quality.
Mm-hmm.
However, it has not caught up yet. The studies of Tongkat Ali and whether it's helpful for male fertility, it has not been shown yet. as yet because there was no big study to address that.
Okay. Kashif Fatima?
Kashif Fatima, again, there's actually not a very big study that actually suggests that it enhances female fertility.
Mm, which is sad, really. I mean, it's found in our backyard.
Yeah, it is, actually.
Researchers, where are you?
Yes, yes. Funding.
It's priorities as well.
It is.
What foods would you say does increase sperm health and motility?
Okay, antioxidant. That's one of those very important ones. In fact, we have been talking about this to most of our patients. Recently, I think Dr. Prashant came up to BFM and shared with you how bad the sperm quality has become.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, when we look at papers and on nutrition and how the nutrition affects male fertility, in fact, we know that certain things such as vitamin C, vitamin E, antioxidants such as coenzyme Q10s, they actually improve the sperm quality in men, especially in men with very, very severe, very bad sperm quality.
Okay. Recently, I was reading a 92-year-old man in India managed to impregnate his wife.
Wow.
Mm, of course, she's a lot younger.
Uh-huh.
And his secret was almonds.
Uh-huh. Interesting.
He swears by them. It is an antioxidant, I'm assuming.
Yes, I am. Yeah, okay. I assume.
But does it differ from one person to another?
It does. And a lot of times, all these things, actually, genetic also plays a very important role. Some men carry a kind of gene that is actually called micro Y gene deletion. If you have this kind of gene mutation, what will happen is sometimes over the years, your sperm quality actually comes down and to a certain point that you may not find any sperm in your ejaculations. So these are also part of the reason why sometimes that you find that some men can father two or three children before and then suddenly that you find you can hardly find any sperm in him. So these are there are a huge number of factors why this can happen, but all these little things actually plays a very important role.
It's very you got to do a whole lot of tests and a battery of tests and go through so much with every patient, really.
Yeah, it's impossible to do so. So routinely, I would actually advise patient, please take a very good multivitamins because it does, all these small little things does help.
Okay. Another question from Mrs. Lee, and she's asking, my husband and I are trying to, have a baby, but my question is, my husband is taking two tablets of Methylcobalamin. Yes, 500 daily. Sorry about that. I would like to know whether it has side effects and her chances of getting pregnant.
Well, it has not. If you take methylcobalamin, it actually helps as well because it's, again, antioxidants as well. However, we must be aware that there are other things that you should be taking as well rather than just one thing. So therefore, I usually would say that if you are not taking a multivitamins as a routine daily thing, please go to the pharmacy, visit a pharmacy, just, take one multivitamins, and that will actually makes a lot of difference in terms of your health, general well-being, as well as your fertility.
Mm-hmm. Zinc, how much of a role does that play?
It does. Yeah, zinc does have been shown to actually have a very significant role in the sperm quality.
Mm-hmm. I've realized that you're pretty big on multivitamins.
Yes, I don't own a share in a pharmaceutical company.
No, I'm assuming the reason you're going in that direction is because has it become unrealistic for us to have a balanced diet anymore?
It is. Yes, it is. Because what happened is, like you probably point out quite just now, that way women want to stay slim, so we go on diet. We go and crash diet, we eat all sorts of things in order to make ourselves look slim. All right. So during the process, you may not be taking enough of a certain food, and therefore there may be a deficiency in our daily product, in our daily food intake. And let me just point out something which just interests me very, very much recently, is that there has been studies that shows that if you are actually vitamin D deficient, your fertility actually goes down dramatically. And we observe this because I do fertility work, and we observe this amongst the patients who actually have been difficulty conceiving even after IVF. Now, if you go and measure their vitamin D level, you'll find that a lot of them are actually very severely vitamin D deficient. Now you will be asking yourself,
it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense, isn't
we
it?
We have the sun.
Sunlight.
Every
come on.
Day.
Yeah.
I'll be like, hiding in the office. What? You just need 5-10 minutes in the sun.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. Walk out to lunch.
Yes, that's right. And I can, you will be amazed at how many women there are actually vitamin D deficient. And can you imagine that you have such an atrocious effect on your fertility? And what will happen in the next 20 or 30 years where you are menopaused? So what will happen to your bone?
Mm.
Uh-huh.
Okay. What do you suggest? I mean, you wouldn't be suggesting supplements for vitamin D in this country.
Okay, it's,
why don't you
it
just
may
tell
sound
them
ridiculous.
To go out?
Yes, I do tell them to go out for a swim, go out for a jog, and that's very important. Well, if you look at our daily life, we come out to the office, we paint ourselves with sunblocks, we tint our windows, our car windows, and our office windows, and we hide in our office, and you don't go out until 5 or 6 in the evening.
Mm.
So you go back home. By the time you reach home after battling the traffic jam, you'll reach home by about 8 o'clock.
Yep.
And where's the sun?
Exactly.
Oh.
So are you saying once in a while we shouldn't wear sunblock?
Well, I think sunblock is very important to prevent skin diseases such as skin cancer and so forth. But it's also very important that we strike a balance rather than cover ourselves in, sunblock all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
okay,
that's very important.
Well, that's what vanity does to you, isn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Herbal and complementary therapy options.
Yes.
Are you for it?
Oh.
Well, Tongkat Ali is one, I suppose.
Yes, Tongkat Ali. In fact, in fertility treatment, we are now looking into what is next. Okay. Now, there's a lot of study now increasingly looking at things like herbal medication. For example, things like Trabestan, Spermans, and so forth. And there has been some data suggesting that these herbs actually does help with male fertility. And acupuncture, for example. There is actually very robust studies that actually shows that if you actually have acupuncture during the time of fertility treatment, it does improve your chance of pregnancy.
Right, that's provided you're on fertility treatment.
Yes, provided. So whether if you were to take herbs or whether you were to actually have acupuncture, even if you're not going for fertility treatment, does it going to improve your pregnancy rate? That's something that we need to probably look into.
But then again, you've got nothing to lose really, isn't it?
Yeah, you have nothing to lose.
Are there possible complications that could arise if you mix mainstream medications with herbal treatment?
Well, it's very difficult to judge because all these things needs to be vetted through with scientific studies. So it's very difficult to define that, when I go for this treatment and if I'm taking the Western doctor's prescribed medication, should I or should I not take all this herbal medication? It's very hard for us as practitioners to tell you whether to take it or not to take it because we really do not know whether it works for you or work against you.
Right.
Yeah. So in fact, things like acupuncture and so forth, that it has been proven scientifically, and therefore we would actually encourage you to do so.
Okay.
But however, certain herbal medication, you really do not know what is the component, especially so when you go to shops that give you 10 or 20 herbs and ask you to go home and boil them.
And you have no idea what's in it.
Yeah, you don't know what it is in it, what components is in it, what dosage it is. Really, I do have some reservation in terms of that.
Okay. After listening to you today, what if I go back now and get those multivitamins and whatever nots? And how long do I have to wait for something to happen?
Well, generally...
When will I know that, it is actually helping?
Well, generally, the studies have shown that if you take multivitamin and so forth for about 6 to 8 weeks, actually, then you should be seeing some differences in terms of your fertility and so forth. Study has also shown that if you take all these multivitamins and all that, it takes about 2 to 3 months before you see the full effect in the sperm count.
Okay. Yeah. This is more for both, you mean?
Yes,
males and females.
That's
okay.
Right.
So about 3 months, you said?
About 6 weeks up to three months.
3 months,
yeah.
Okay. What do couples have to make very big changes in their lifestyle if they are trying to get pregnant?
Well, I wouldn't say that it's a big lifestyle changes, but what we are advocating is actually a healthy lifestyle, which is apart from your fertility. It also helps in your long-term health as well, because by eating healthy, taking Mediterranean diets, for example, it does actually have a very long-term effect on your longevity.
I know,
your health.
There's a lot of talk about Mediterranean diets now.
Yes, yes. And in fact, there's a very high power study that shows that if you actually take Mediterranean food, which is rich in vegetables, grains, fish, olive oil, all this thing actually helps with your fertility.
Okay. Things we should be avoiding as such, alcohol.
Yes.
Cigarettes,
caffeine, social drugs, and so forth. Yeah, that's very important.
Okay. So ultimately, it's just about being healthy and hoping for the best?
Yet. Yes, yes. And if it doesn't work out, please come and see us.
Thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you. Yeah.
Dr. Helena Lim, consultant obstetrician and gynecologist on fertility for male and females in relation to nutrition on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, The Business Station.